What is driving this move to alternative fuels, at least on the part of the Navy? Is it only the cost savings?
Well, no, it's not. And thanks for asking that question. I know that a lot of folks look at a lot of our efforts and immediately look to the alternative fuels arena. But I'd like to begin by kind of making really clear that our energy strategy for the Navy has a much bigger purpose than just that. First, it's really about delivering more combat capability to the warfighters who are out there operating in forward deployed areas all around the world. And it's why the vast majority of our effort and energy and resources are really devoted to figuring out how to be more efficient. In other words, how to sip, not guzzle our fuel. And we certainly have a good history of doing that and showing that we can manage energy smartly, and smartly meaning that we can get more combat capability. In World War II, we may remember, and you know, that we're just one day out from the Pearl Harbor anniversary, we probably also remember that just a few months after that, Colonel Doolittle showed that with 16 B-25 Mitchell bombers, that when he stripped them all down and made them as light as he could incredibly increase their range, and by doing so, increase their combat capability. So we look at a lot of our efforts in the arena of efficiency as being exactly that. For a plane, it can be to ensure that our pilot on a dark, stormy night can be able to have one more trip around the boat and be able to safely land on the aircraft carrier. For a ship, to have more on-station time. For our expeditionary sailors and Marines, fewer logistic convoys. And for all of those, we know that in the end, like with the USS Cole or with IEDs, at the end of the day, that means lives. But to directly kind of talk to you about the test that we did, it's the self-defense test ship, the USS Paul H. Foster, which was is a decommissioned Spruance-class destroyer. And we took it out there and took it around the block, so to speak, and we tested it on different types of fuels. We did a run from Port Hueneme to San Diego and San Diego back up to Port Hueneme. During 17 hours, we tested out using a hydro-renewable biofuel.
What did you find? Did you notice a difference in operations?
What we found is that there is absolutely no difference in the operations. It performed exactly as if it was a petroleum-based fuel. Absolutely no difference.
Now, the biofuels now are substantially more expensive than petroleum-based fuels. What is the timeline that you see to be able to either use technological advances or just the sheer buying power of the Navy or the military in general, or a combination of those, to get biofuels to a point where they're less expensive than petroleum fuels? Is that imminent, or is that still a ways in the future?
Well, I think what we've already seen to date is that we start with when we first did some tests, the prices of the fuels were very expensive, and we've already seen a magnitude factor drop in that. But at the end of the day, you know, that's not something we control. The market controls that, and that's always a combination from, you know, everyone's economics courses, a combination of demand and supply and the feedstock supplies. You know, on the demand side, I think we've certainly seen that liquid fuels worldwide, the demand for it continues unabated. And when we look at the growing economies in China and India, their attendant increase in standard of living, that certainly has resulted in much of the creep in demand. On the other side of the house, production capacity side, although we're finding more fossil fuels every day and every year, we've certainly heard about some of that being found in the United States. The real reality is that we've already burned our way through most of the world's easy oil. So what we're kind of left with is the hard oil and the expensive oil. And the new stuff we find is pretty much at marginal barrel price. And so that ends up driving this kind of relentless march towards higher prices in the price of regular petroleum fossil-based fuels. These alternatives, again, you know, the more the demand is for that, the more feedstocks are available, and the more we scale that up, then we'll certainly see the prices continue to drop. And at some point they cross, or certainly level out so that you have resiliency and you're no longer dependent, you're no longer beholden, and you're no longer held hostage to one source of fuel. And in the end, what we hope for is that oil becomes like salt.
This was one 17-hour test on one ship. How do you scale this up?
Well, we've actually, this is one of many tests that we've actually done over the last couple of years. We started on this path about 2 years ago in experimenting with these different hydro-treated renewable fuels. This is the biggest one to date. It was 20,000 gallons of this 50-50 blend of petroleum and a hydro-processed algal oil. And this demonstration, again, is leading us towards the certifications of all our surface ships to be able to run on these biofuels so that next year, in 2012, in the summer, that we can be able to run a strike group. And we've already tested out virtually every aircraft in our inventory on a JP-5, a biofuel equivalent of JP-5, so that jet fuel, so that we can be able to operate that strike group for a period of time on all biofuel.